Okay, I think we're going to go ahead and get going here. And thank you to everyone who's here. This is the Women in the Economy Commission meeting of Tuesday, March 29th. And appreciate everyone who is here. And we will begin with a motion to approve our minutes. Commissioner Robinson. Motion.
Yeah, move to approve our minutes.
Thank you. A motion before us to approve our minutes from our last meeting, which was February 1st. Any discussion to the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The minutes are approved. We will go right into our first item on the agenda, which is the 2016 Utah Women in Higher Education Research presentation. And Commissioner Robinson, you're going to do that presentation. Do you want to stay here or move down there?
I'm happy here.
You're happy there? Fair enough. Okay.
Okay.
We will turn the time over to you, and I'm just going to move that computer screen so I have better access to all of you.
That's so much better.
Okay.
So just a quick update. Our subcommittee, the research subcommittee, met several weeks ago, and during that meeting, we had Susan Matson and Hank Kurlick and a number of other people who were there bring up the issue of needing to study women in higher education in our state better and have a better understanding of educational attainment, generational changes that have occurred, how we're trending in comparison with national figures, and so on. And we asked that group to get together and put together a proposal. And each of you should have a copy of that. At the top, it should say Women in the Economy Commission Proposal, 2016 Women in Higher Education Research. And if you'll just take a look at it, it won't be surprising to you. You've all heard the need to better understand women's educational attainment in our state, and that our data is, I guess, very generic or limited, and we'd like to have a more depth in our understanding on this issue. So if you look through that, you'll see a little bit about the need, but then our initial research question, I think there are about five areas that we want to study. And we put actually together a proposal of cost and expense and the time frame that this would take. So we're looking at that this would be about a six-month project for a person to work half-time, 20 hours a week. And the cost for that would be about $24,000. Now, I know our commission doesn't have any funding put directly towards this, but what we would suggest is to start looking for some grants to support this kind of research. And it could be something very similar to how we've done the focus group research, where it was a Walmart grant that went to the YWCA, and then the YWCA contracted with the University of Utah to do that work this year. It could be a very similar setup and system where we could have the YWCA receive the grant and then actually do the hiring of the person. We've identified a scholar. Her name is Catherine Jepson. She currently works for our center of Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute. She's just with us on contract until the end of June. So after that point, she's cleared to work. We have a resume for you to review as well, but she would be an incredible asset on this kind of research. She has in-depth knowledge. She has experience working at the LDS Church with their records, and then she has good understanding of demographics resources like the census records as well. So that's the proposal, and we would like to see if the commission feels like this is a worthwhile venture, and if it is, I think the research subcommittee could go forward and look for funding sources for it. So I guess it's now open to discussion.
Okay, thank you very much. To discussion from the commission, Commissioner Chavez-Town. Yes, so Commissioner Robinson, a couple of these. In terms of the time frame related to the focus group research, how do you see this mapping out of those two projects going forward? How do you see implementation from the research committee?
Yeah, so that's terrific. The focus group research is underway right now, and what that means is we're currently putting together discussion guides. We've identified our locations for the focus groups, and we've framed them out on our calendars at the Gardner Institute. So we're looking at doing focus groups throughout the state in June and July. The analysis would be done in August, and we would present this commission term draft one meet in September, and then you guys would have those available if you wanted to present at an October or November interim meeting. This work could be done simultaneously. It's different staff and different teams.
Well, that's what I was just wondering in terms of oversight from the research committee, that since you've got it assigned, it can both can move in tandem or move
that's
together.
Absolutely. Yep.
Great. What I wanted to let you know, we're going to do this as part of the policy discussion, but we were able to secure $25,000. Senator Davis was a champion for us and was able to get over and above what we have for our base for moving forward and providing support for DWS, but another $25,000 for our youth. And part of it was what I was hoping to do was research, complement our research efforts. But Susan Cohen, who was instrumental in getting us our Walmart grant, when we did a check presentation during the session, Representative Edwards and I were there, and a number of you were there for that presentation. Susan Cohen came up to me and said, I've got other funders that would just love to do this kind of work. You let me know what you need. And so I think we need to do both. So we've got this other cushion of money maybe to get things started, but if we can get another grant, I'd rather use the funding that we secured, the $25,000 for the commission to do things like maybe go to events if we have to do a booth or help with presentations or something like that, and or the other thing that I really envisioned utilizing this for is a stipend for an intern to help the commission in general. So someone that could help the policy committee and help the communications committee and the research committee just kind of do some of the logistics work, take notes, do modest research, that kind of stuff. So I really want to make sure that we don't eat up all of that funding with research. I want to see an opportunity for a grad student or somebody that might be interested in doing some work with the subcommittees and helping them through a secondary internship. And Commissioner Barnes, what I'll need is kind of what rules we need to follow if we were to do an internship like that. I don't even know. I mean, it's something I discussed during the session that I did not get a chance to circle back with you to see if that is even appropriate or whether we can do those kinds of things with stipend. But that's what I'd like to envision is doing something like that. But it doesn't preclude us to maybe get started with the research as we look to see. But I will make a note of connecting with Ms. Cohn about which other funders we might be able to solicit and present grant proposals to, and then do like we did before, maybe find an agent and then meet with the institute to do the proposal again. So, great, super.
Thank you. Commissioner Barnett.
Thank you. I just have a question. I'm sure that this has been answered, but I'm having a senior moment. Who pays Gail, and is this her extra little job she does? And, she's amazing. And is she getting... is she getting stipend, or is there something more she gets, or...
In fact, Commissioner Bowles can actually talk a little bit more to how they administer it. There is a base budget that the DWS folks receive to do this, but I'll have her address how that's appropriated and how they staff it administratively through DWS.
Yeah, so Gail actually is the administrative assistant to, you guys remember, Carrie Main. And so in the legislation, DWS is tasked with staffing the commission, and we are given a base budget. I can't remember the exact amount. I want to say $35,000, something like that. The first year it was appropriated incorrectly in the bill of bills, and so we could actually only remove $7,000 of it. So that was kind of a hairy thing we went through. But we've all worked it out now, and so we have enough to, you know, have her bill the time she spends here to that appropriation. So, yeah. We love Gail.
Yes. And just to add to, with legislation that we passed this year to remove the subset from this commission, that keeps that in the base budget so that we're able to assure that EWS, at least for the time, we might need to look next year keep an eye on the use of your time and the department's kind of, we need to look at asking for more going into next year. I think it'll be good if we have these two grants under our belt so we can show we're trying to bring other resources to bear, and this is why we need a little bit more to make sure that DWS is appropriately compensated and reimbursed for the time for Gail and the other three members. But in the meantime, we're good in terms of budget, and now that we don't have a sense that we can just keep moving along doing our work.
Thank you.
Okay. And this brings up something I neglected to mention at the very beginning of our meeting, because it just seems so natural to have her here. But I do want to make an official, before her first comment is made, a welcome to our newest commission member, Melissa Friedan, who is your official title Director of Contracts?
Workforce Development.
Workforce Development at LSI. And for those of you who remember, Melissa did an excellent presentation last spring in front of the commission, and has been going through the process of becoming a member here, officially appointed as a commissioner, and we are happy to welcome her in her first meeting. And now, welcome a comment. Melissa.
I'm very excited.
Commissioner Friedan, sorry.
Thank you. I was just going to make a comment in terms of interns on the university we've had. If it's a way to access maybe some of the other departments, like the economy department, or there may be ways to not have to necessarily fund the stipend. There may be students who are already funded and doing this type of research that may be very interested in having access to and supporting the committee, where we wouldn't necessarily have to give for it out of a budget, but maybe we work with the university to see if they already have maybe some individuals who are already sort of studying these types of projects and initiatives.
Great. That's definitely something we should look at. Commissioner Robinson?
I'll follow up on her comments. So one thing that you could do is you can fund a graduate student, and it's the minimum amount for a full year is $16,500 for next year. When you fund a graduate student as a GA in that position, their tuition gets 100% covered. So you get a bigger bang for your buck with a student, and you could easily give a graduate student in econ, political science, or we can go out of social behavioral sciences. But it's a really nice way to get a student at a high level, really very intelligent, hardworking, dedicated, and it might even touch their dissertation or their thesis. Yeah. And then they could also connect with a faculty advisor. So there's faculty in econ that are focused on inequality, and quality issues, and you might be able to find one of their students. So that's one option. The other is simply and finding, if you didn't need somebody at that high level, you could find an undergraduate or a graduate student through Inkley. And sometimes they can support the student as well. So you could double up.
Great. Thank you. That's something we should follow through with. Great idea. Any other comments on the research? Okay. And did you mention at the beginning that the research subcommittee member, Susan Madsen, Dr. Susan Madsen, is in Argentina?
Yeah, she's stuck in Buenos Aires today, I think.
Yeah.
On her way home, so she wasn't able to join us. But it was Susan Madsen, Pam Perlick, and Bert Holder that put this proposal together.
Yeah, very exciting. Thank you very much. All right, let's move to our next item on the agenda, which is our subcommittee updates. And let's see. Maybe I will begin with policy and give the other subcommittees a chance to sort of pull their thoughts together. But in terms of the policy subcommittee, we had several bills, and you will recognize these, as I mentioned, because most of these bills we've had presented to our commission throughout our time that we have met. And I'll just highlight four, and if you can think of other ones that kind of mesh with our work, please bring those up. First of all, House Bill 54, which was the removal of the sunset on the Women in the Economy Commission. And you remember this was a bill that Senator Bramble had helped us with on the Senate side as our Senate sponsor. This was one of the very first bills that actually was passed in the session. It was kind of exciting to see that happen. And as Commissioner Chavez mentioned, Senator Davis was a great support too in terms of getting the $25,000 appropriation for that. Senator 117 was sponsored by our own commission member, Senator Deidre Henderson. This dealt with the interior designer issue that we've heard from the members from IDEAL. A couple of years at least they've been working on this issue, and it expands the scope of practice with DOPL providing a certification for commercial interior design designers, and it's actually called the Commercial Interior Designer Certificate, and that expands the scope of practice in the residential setting. And I know that that was extremely well received by the individuals working in that field. Senator 108 was the birthing, I think I said Senator Henderson. I meant Senator Escamilla. Yeah, that was Senator Escamilla's bill. I apologize about that. Senator Henderson's bill was Senator 108, the birthing center bill, that also streamlined licensing and allowed birthing centers to expand and be licensed for 2 to 5 birthing rooms rather than the restriction that they have right now, which is one birthing room. And then Senate Bill 59 was Senator Weiler's bill that I was the House sponsor on, the anti-discrimination bill that allowed for reasonable accommodations for breastfeeding and pregnant women in the workplace. And those were 4 bills that we heard as a commission. We took a official vote in support of all 4 of those bills, and it was nice to be able, as Commissioner Chavez mentioned, during the presentation on the House floor of the interior designer bill with Senator Escamilla, SB 117, to be able to point out to our colleagues on the House that this bill had been something that we had heard as Women in the Economy Commission and had thrown our support behind. So it was a nice thing to be able to see those bills passed. And are there any other issues or bills that you can think of that had an intersection with our work here? Commissioner Bonas, can you think of anything from your vantage point from DWS that we may not have discussed here as a commission but has an intersection with our work? It's difficult to.
Intersected specifically with women.
I'm trying to think. I mean, there were several bills that went through. And I guess any kind of touch point is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So, Senator Milner's high quality preschool bill went through, and we were able to figure out how to use $11 million a year of TANF funds to pay for that. And so what this does is it creates high quality preschools and then also funds children to attend these preschools if they are found to be TANF eligible, which means they are under 200% of the federal poverty level. That's SB 102.
Yeah. I think that's the
101. Yeah. And so, it helps women in the sense that they can get their children into higher preschools and in preschool in general, which is the evidence has shown that this helps children succeed further in life. It also helps these children to attain better education. There was a self-reliance bill that was passed by Senator Fillmore. This requires our customers that receive public assistance to receive at least 2 hours of self-reliance training. We just started talking this week on how we're going to implement that and program that in and figure that out. But
so just to add on that, I think we've made some amendments to that particular bill that made it, well, I thought we had made it voluntary at some level, so it wasn't, what we were trying to do is avoid making it a requirement for receipt of their funding and
right.
Make it more just this is a resource that can be utilized The other thing that I have great concerns with that was also amended in the House, and I thank Representative Eagleson for working on this, was so many of our recipients of those services are actually children, and the way it was written, originally drafted, it made it broad, so broad that, I mean, it would, unless we, I mean, there's probably a way you could have found an administrative way to get around it, but you would have had 5-year-olds having to take the central line journey, and or people that are seniors, et cetera. I mean, so we said from 18 to 64 or something like that. We put a frame in there to kind of just put a little bit more definition around that particular piece of legislation. But for some of us, some of the concern was we didn't want receipt of services to be totally contingent on it, but we do want it as a resource,
right,
and allow. And DWS is already doing so much related to that that there was some concern with some of us related to the fact that DWS is already doing a lot of this, and giving them one more hurdle or thing that they have to implement when the resources and the services are already there and are things within it administratively that they're trying to get recipients to participate in order to augment their ability and
move
towards self-reliance. So.
Right, and you're absolutely right. Originally there was teeth in there, but we had cut off eligibility within 90 days if they didn't participate in the training. That has been taken out. In fact, we're not able to. But the statute does still, well, the bill as a general still requires that they do, that we offer the training. We just can't penalize them, which we wouldn't want to do.
That was the thing that came to the House, it was the most decisive piece of it.
Yeah,
so I think it's
it's
a bit more palatable in the present form.
Yeah, and like you said, we already have some trainings that we provide our customers on self-reliance, and so we're just going to make sure that everyone is offered that. And in all application, we're anticipating that the only federal program we administer that will actually be allowed to do it by our federal partners is our family employment program, our TAM of my customers. We anticipate that the SNAP program and Medicaid and child care, will, the Fed partners will not allow us to implement this. So, yeah, I'm trying to think what else. We, so much went through. There was a lot of housing bills that went through, which are excited about.
Well, I know we've caught you kind of.
Yeah, I would have brought a few chairs. I have a whole list of everything that we worked on.
There, just building on some of the things that you mentioned, it sparked a memory for me as well about a bill I sponsored. I do not have internet to look up the number, and I'm embarrassed to say I cannot remember the number of this bill. But it was a working family amendment. And this is a bill we actually heard in our commission and supported, and it made its way through the House and Senate committee, and then, as so many good bills do, did not make it to the top of the list in time. But this was the bill that added some of those non-wage compensation benefits to be considered in the formula for economic development tax increment financing, the tax incentives that GOED uses when they're looking at businesses who are either coming to expand with a significant expansion here in the state or just relocate to the state. And those non-wage compensations there was a list of suggestions, and then they could also include others, but they were things like paid family leave, family away time for a sick adult in your family, or things like that, and there was a list of about 9 or 10 of them. So I anticipate that we will come back with that bill again. This was a bill that Representative Angela Romero and I worked on when we attended a working families conference in May through NCSL. And for the housing piece, the Lieutenant Governor has convened an Affordable Housing Commission, and we had our first meeting for that last week. And I am just extremely excited about the work that I think is going to come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great group of people who I think have probably not sat down together
before to end, including a bunch of people on the finance side. So we've had a lot of people in the past on policy and or service providers who say, you know, we this is why it's important and here's some policy ideas. But to have the financial piece as part of the discussion, I think that's really going to move us forward. And so I'll keep you kind of abreast of some things that are happening there, but we did have our first meeting. The goal with that is to have some recommendations, policy recommendations that would grow out of this that we could hear, that they wrap into the governor's budget. So that timeline is that September usually?
Yeah.
October-ish. And then have it be able to present at some interim committees in either October or November and really roll that out potentially as a committee bill. So I would see a natural fit for us to hear that presentation, for the Intergenerational Welfare Reform Commission to hear that presentation, and to get stamps of approval, I would assume, from both those commissions, and maybe potentially come to Economic Development and Workforce Services Interim Committee in October or November. That's the goal.
That'd be exciting.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's something for us to look forward to, and as policy co-chairs of that subcommittee, then we'll certainly.
There was one other one I just thought about when you said Representative Romero that passed. It's the, AB 1322 Public Assistance Benefits Amendment. So previous to this bill passing, our family employment program customers, which are generally single moms, were required to take a SASE questionnaire before they were found eligible for cash assistance. And the SASE questionnaire is a way to determine whether or not someone may have a substance abuse problem. And then we were using that SASE questionnaire to then refer them to drug testing. And if they were found positive for any kind of substance, controlled substance in their system, they would then be referred to in a substance abuse program. And if they at any time refused to take the drug test or refused to take the SASE or refused to enter the program, then they would be denied eligibility for these benefits. Now, all of these costs are absorbed by the department, so the individual doesn't have to pay for any of this. The ACLU, ever since this bill passed, I think this bill passed in 2012, it was Representative Wilson that ran it, that required the drug testing element. The ACLU has always been uncomfortable with it and kind of been every year like, okay, we may sue if you guys don't change this, because they felt like it was an infringement on these customers' Fourth Amendment privacy rights, that we're requiring this drug test without probable cause, that a SASE questionnaire doesn't give someone probable cause. And so what this bill did was amend that process. So one, they're found eligible based on their circumstances outside of the SASE questionnaire, where before they wouldn't be found eligible until they took the SASE questionnaire. So it's pushed back in their process of receiving benefits. And then once they do take the SASE and it's determined that they may have a substance abuse problem, they are then set to meet with a licensed clinical therapist. And that the licensed clinical therapist, after spending some time with this individual, finds that based on that personal interaction, if that there may be a substance abuse problem, then they're referred to a drug, a substance abuse program. So that way we've attained that probable cause that normal institutions require in order to order a drug test.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes, you can.
Is this the bill that Representative Romero was working on, and it was a small incremental change this year, and she's planning to work with Representative Wilson on this going forward for some additional?
I don't think so. So what happened is we were working on this throughout the interim. So the original plan was for Romero to repeal the entire thing. And then Wilson was going to substitute it with this amendment
on the floor, and then we all got together and said, how about we just have Romero run these amendments? Because Wilson's reaction to her repealing the whole thing was, that's not going to pass. But let's work together, ACLU, along with me and the advocates, we all met over the interim to work out what would be a feasible solution that would satisfy the constitutional rights of the customers, but also meet what Wilson determined would be the wants and needs of the legislature. So I don't anticipate any more changes going forward, other than if she wants to try to repeal it.
Thank you. There are any other questions? Commissioner Brenner?
So I didn't follow this bill. We had 160 rubber firing, so that was the one I threw in there. But my question to you, because I didn't follow the bill, is to cut public assistance from the mother. What happens to the children? They don't get public assistance.
No, not with these types of benefits.
Exactly.
Right.
So mom's a druggie. The child doesn't get anything. I mean, what was that taking into consideration? I mean, it's what it is.
Yeah.
So,
And I think that that's originally why Representative Romero fell out of it. I mean, that's why she has been pushing for the repealer.
Yeah.
And this was a step towards having that dialogue and what that might look like.
Thank you.
Commissioner Freetown.
I also would be interested, I don't know if it's going to have positive or negative, but I think the folk rehab, the USOR, merger, even in the light of that conversation, may have more referrals or more resources and integrated services that may have a really positive effect too. So it'd be interesting to see what effect that has. But it would be great, I think, to continue to watch that, not watch it, but see how it impacts the various demographics of females.
Absolutely.
There were two additional bills, one of which is the one that I just referenced with Representative Romero. It was House Bill 188, paid family leave, and this was a bill that Representative Romero worked on, and it passed out of the House Business and Labor Committee, but did not make its way beyond that. And I have spoken with Representative Romero, and her Senate sponsor on that bill is our own Senator Escamilla. And she has spoken with the House leadership on this bill and has received a commitment from Representative Wilson to work on this issue of paid family leave going forward. So that is the Romero-Wilson connection there. So we'll look forward to hearing more about that. And if you remember, Representative Romero came and did a brief presentation on this bill conceptually, I think even in February, and it was not fleshed out at that point, but eventually did pass out of House Business and Labor. Actually, it was held. Senate and Chairman.
And then I wanted to bring up a bill that Senator Iwamoto sponsored, or House sponsor, with Representative Sophia DiCaro, related to discriminatory employment practices. It says that provides that a person who is subject to discrimination in matters of compensation may receive a remedy in an additional amount equal to the back pay amount already available. So my understanding is that it's been present, but it hasn't been really communicated. There's just people don't understand that they have the right to go back for back pay in equal amounts. And so this just kind of really opens the door for communicating that, putting it in code with a lot of clarity that individuals can seek who is subject to discrimination and that's a founded complaint, that they can receive an additional remedy related to their back pay that they have missed by not being paid fairly and equitably. So that was Senate Bill 185. So we got a lot done. Good work, good work everyone.
All right, I think that concludes our presentation. That's bringing back so many fun memories of this.
So, but I've exhausted it already.
So I do have some news though for everyone. So a text from Senator Escamilla. Yes, finally yesterday, at 6:18 p.m. Big Baby. Welcome, Sofia Cielo Escamilla, 8 pounds, 3 ounces, 21 inches. So we'll send her a congratulatory, but this is a video. She's got a picture of this beautiful baby who is a big baby. But she was cooked a long time, maybe, because she was supposed to be, she was due like at the beginning of March, so she hung on. We were wondering if she was going to make it to the session, and that's where that baby was dropping like the week before. So, so I'm glad to see that we've got.
Got our newest
family ranch. That's awesome. Let's go to Commissioner Wallace for discussion of the Communications Subcommittee. Thank you.
The Communications Subcommittee met one time since our last commission meeting in February to go over website type of things. The biggest barrier to getting the website up is me. It's very busy, but this next week is dedicated to two events, and that's the website as well as another event we have coming up at my center. But our committee's been very dedicated in putting together a really good plan for communications as well as website. So some of it I just want to review with you as well. We are working on adding content. There's a few more bits of content I'll need to get from the subcommittees, as well as some photos that we can add to the website to get it up. And then I do want to go back to work with Jenny and her husband to do some custom photos as we go along. We are planning, I do have a draft of our news release that's going to go with the launch. As long as the information in it is still current, we want to make sure that the launch goes along with the news release. The website will include our guiding principles and priorities for the year with a call to action. And our portion, the commission, is on policy. So we want to be very clear about we're not everything to everybody. Here's what we are looking at. What we will take care of is policy. And the call to action is to other organizations that are influencers in the areas that go along with our guiding principles. And so we wanted to make sure that included individuals, organizations, business, nonprofit, religion, churches, policy, legislators, and education. We also wanted to make sure there was a bill watch included, so all the bills you just mentioned should be on the website, and if it's after the session or even before and during, we want a synopsis so the layman would understand what those are and how they would impact an individual or organization. We also want to, and this is new, something we are suggesting, not something that's required for the website, but if we were to piggyback on the focus group or to somehow get a very small survey put out where we ask women in our state how they feel that they are represented or how they feel about being a woman in Utah, and we put together an active live Wordle, I don't even know what a Wordle is, where if we're asking for just one word, or if we ask for three words, the more times a word is mentioned, the bigger it is. And so we actively create a Wordle based on the input by women in our state. But it would depend on which groups can we connect with, and that will impact the Wordle itself. But that's an idea that we had, where women could have impact and put in a word, and they would be able to see what everyone else is saying. So it's not necessarily what we think is going on, but what they're telling us is, at least as far as asking them how they feel. Another thing that we wanted to make sure on there was our annual report for the commission, as well as any research, published research. And also quick facts about Utah women. That would come from research anyway, but we created some infographics for that. And I think that really wraps up the committee itself. We do want to make sure that we are connecting with influencers as far as what we're doing, so it's not just our own, our group hearing from others, but we're actively encouraging others to do their part, and that could be part of it on the website, but also actively throughout our connections. Any questions?
You have, first of all, thank you so much. This is probably one of the most well anticipated items of our commission work here is just seeing this process go forward and really bringing your skill set to bear here with this.
I am not a communication specialist, but I'm learning.
I was going to say,
not just for
us.
Yeah, I think that's the logo, however.
It's. Do you want to let's go back
to just a small update with the logo. I received feedback both at the commission meeting, but also via email, which was sent over to Utah Interactive. And, again, part of it is just my slowness in getting it to them. But I have a meeting with them on Monday, and they have a much better idea about what we're looking for. The logos that we did like that are not quite there yet, looking for something that represents what we're doing. And I know that there was a comment about making sure that maybe it didn't look too female-centric. I don't know how to explain that. But because I mentioned to Utah Interactive that really it's about everyone elevating the status of women, not just women elevating women. Mm-hmm. So that's what was given to them, and also, again, the purpose of the commission to help inspire them. So I'll be meeting with them on Monday.
Yeah, and I think what I had concerns with, it was like women, like a picture of a woman, and it's like, that's just like, that's obvious. I want something more in the abstract, and I wanted something that showed movement, that, you know, was more dynamic looking versus static, and because what we're talking about is movement and moving upward and improving, and so that is more what I was looking for. Commissioner Bones has a question.
Thank you. I know you mentioned putting the annual report on the website, and I just noticed that on the bill, that HB 56, that was run, a lot of the reporting requirements, or the entities it's being required for, like, has been cut out, and that we're no longer required to publish it, but just included in our, the DWS's annual written report. I'm just wondering what the thinking was behind that, like, just what we want to streamline or whatever.
I'm
all for simplifying, yeah, because this annual report that we do is mega.
So I think it was simply to streamline and sort of solidify its spot that we're embedded within DWS. I think that would be the only reason. And rather than to have an additional reporting to all of the interim committees that we would be reporting to, we would just be part of the DWS presentation in all of those committees. And actually, we have more touch points and more eyes on our report now that it would be just part of your annual report. Because your annual report goes more places, even though I know we felt like we were reporting a lot of places, you go further than we do. So that was part of it, is to expand our opportunity to reach people with our message and our work, and then secondly, really, to streamline the efforts in front of these committees. It felt just sort of duplicative to have us do both.
Right.
Okay. It was more just trying to develop some efficiencies and us having to present 3 or 4 times, but I think it's helpful to integrate it. And then perhaps what we could do for the website is just put a reference to the annual report and say that, and just say that link to the annual report in general, the DWS annual report, and say specific information about the Women in the Economy Commission is featured on page of
4. And that will also show the connection between the commission and DWS, because that is important for people to know as well.
I have a comment first just on that topic. I also think that allows us to not get lost. Right, because the annual report is gigantic, and, you know, where you place that, it could absolutely get lost. So I love the idea of making sure that it has a spot of its own as well. But 2 questions. One is your portal. Does your portal have the capability to do analytics as well? So if somebody puts their name in, and can it also, if they get approval or waiver, for example, does it have the opportunity to maybe some of the demographics of people who are surveyed?
As far as the Wordle I was mentioning, or other research?
The portal. So when somebody sort of logs into the portal, they're volunteering their information, right? So they're moving forward with providing information at their own voluntary discretion. But I'm curious about, you know, analytics now are really, really descriptive, and once somebody actually puts their name in with the technology and gives approval, there's lots of things that we can access, like their Facebook posts or their LinkedIn types of things. I mean, you can get 30,000 data sets on an individual and start looking at maybe some of the trends and some of the underlying themes. I'm not the expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I know just enough to sort of ask the questions to people who are smarter than me. So I think it would be very interesting to look at that, because I think now the big data and the analytics are really providing a lot of information for the researchers and for the academicians to be able to look at things. So I don't know.
And so what I would recommend probably is offline to two of you, so that maybe that's a question you can ask the interactive folks and that there's a way that we could build that in. So,
sure. And really, the Wordle was just a concept. We haven't fleshed out any details at all, and then that would cross over into research, really. So maybe there's a tri-conversation that we have offline as well, because it's something that I thought of as just very simple, but if we're looking for analytics that could really help us, then it would be worth talking about. So we will need to talk or something. Commissioner Barnett.
So this is no big secret, but I am usually pretty intimidated on the commission. I really am. You guys made me feel so comfortable. So I'm going to ask it. I had to ask Jenny on the sidebar if I should ask it, so I'm going to ask it. I love what you've done, Anne-Marie. I love the website and all your wonderful ideas. But I have a hard time with explaining in an elevator message who we are, and especially in my environment, who I work with in the labor unions. And the fact that we're, you know, about policy, that's something we've talked about, and how I can move that into my environment as well. But I would love to see a little elevator message, you know, because I love your idea about the logo. I'm 100% there. I didn't want it to be too, you know, women, and especially the comments on the floor of the Senate that I listened to about getting the sunset removed without mentioning names. So anyway, and thank you for all your work. I really think this is the committee I need to be on, but because I feel more comfortable, I'm a visual person, you know, pictures and stuff. So anyway, an elevator message to me.
Perfect. Okay, so the draft that we have for the news release includes the about the commission at the very end, which all news releases should. So this is something that we can prove through our committee very quickly, and send it out to either the full commission or the co-chairs so that we can refine it to where we are comfortable with it and then share with each other.
I think it should go out on commission. It's a different, more eyes.
Okay. So that's an action item for me. It's already written. I'm reading through it again, and I want you to make a few changes to it because it's very technical, and I would rather have it be very simple and easy to understand. So I can send that to the commission by the end of the week so that we can proof it, and that way we'll have it in our back pocket.
That'd be great. Thank you. Is there anything else, Commissioner Wallace, that you need from the other commission members? Are you?
I
remember that there were photos you were asking for us to submit to you and other information. Do you have everything you need from all of us?
I just need some content, which I mentioned earlier, from the different subcommittees. I'll be confirming the content with Utah Interactive on Monday. I'll know exactly how many photos that we need. I did ask Amber Holder to send out a request to the women and girls organizations that met together at YWC on International Women's Day, requesting photos that, with approval from those organizations for our website, so that should be helpful. That's really all I'm looking for right now. The other part, which might be a little bit later, and maybe it's not, is just the bill list. Even though it's not a bill watch at this point, we do want to have the synopsis of each bill. So if that's something that can work with policy on.
Yeah, I have notes here and I can submit that to you.
Then with those things, we can move forward and be ready for our next commission meeting.
And do you have a list on there of our sort of, I wouldn't say necessarily partnering organizations, but other organizations in the community? You do have that. That's part of your...
If you have a list, and those are the influencers that could be on the website as examples. So when we do a call to action, we're asking all, you know, churches to do this. These may things that fall within our guiding principles or organizations, and we have a list of those that we feel are doing well at that, and we will list them as examples.
Okay. And if we have other groups that we'd like you to take a look at in the community, we'll send you those names.
Please.
As well. Okay.
Yeah, and I apologize if this has already been discussed before. This is just me being new. And I love it. This is awesome. So if this question is too big, just tell me to stop asking. But was there any conversation about social media as it relates? Is that a different project, or is that also with this?
That's a really good question. The committee has discussed social media. I don't think the commission has discussed it. I haven't brought it up. Our thing was that at social media, we definitely need to include it as a big part of our communications, but without a lot of staffing, we didn't know who was going to control it and who was going to post and who was going to be in charge of content. We thought it would be great to have a conversation going on between all the women in the state, but what would we do with the information? So right now the website is going to share what the petition is about and the small part that we can do. But we thought bringing in social media without a plan, we didn't know who was going to really move it forward or keep it going or just oversee it. So that's a really good question. If you have suggestions, let me know. I can talk with our team in the chamber about social media, but that is a big question.
So, and I think I would ask you, Commissioner Bonas, too, I want to make sure that if we did move in that direction with the social media, I don't know what oversight regs we need to, you know, what protocols we need to apply since we would be doing it as, you know, under our administrative oversight from the department. So that would be the only thing that we'd also need to make sure that we're not violating anything related to that. So, yeah.
Thanks. That's a good point. So what I can do is when you're getting to that point, put you in connection with our communications director, and he'll be able to give you any kind of insight that you need from that perspective, as well as any kind of linking you can do to our site or what we can copy onto our site to then direct our customers to.
So maybe we'll try to do with that piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
would be good.
Thank you. If you don't mind, I'd like to just review my action items.
Well,
sure.
I have a lot.
So
I did a long meeting. I promise you.
I'm looking for content and pictures from the committee chairs. Also, I'm sending out a draft of an elevator pitch for the commission itself, ensuring that the list of examples is put together and later on ask for additional. Let's see. Connecting with DWS communications and I believe finding out about analytics as far as our and the meeting that we're going to have, or at least the conversation that we're going to have. I believe, other than just the to-dos that I have internally with the committee, I think that's all I have promised you. Anything else I've missed?
You may have something else. Or is it Barnett? Robinson.
I want to just, like, cross-check my to-dos with you. I have a few things that I owe you. So, photos, we owe you. I need to get you, like, the 2014 report that we shared in December of 14. Take some of that information and make some quick facts for your website.
If you're able to make them into infographics, if not, I can have our graphic designer do that.
Okay, so those are my things that I need to get to you. And then I wanted to follow up about the issue of social media and the website. That website needs to be so frequently updated, and then the social media presence has to be really active. I'm wondering if we can use any of our funds that we received during this session to help hire a communications intern.
I vote yes on that.
I think that's a conversation that we can have once the website's up and going, and that's really communications 2.0.
Okay.
And needs to happen, and we need to make sure that we're ready to roll it out right and have some good consistency there, and that may be a good place to look.
Okay.
So, okay. Thank you. We're going to stop here with the questions before you get any more to do. Okay. You've done an exemplary job, too. Commissioner Wallace, you and your committee have been great with us, and we're really excited the way the direction that it's going. All right. Research subcommittee.
Okay.
Back to Commissioner Robinson.
So just a few things, and I wanted to update the whole group on this. The Walmart Foundation funding came through to the YWCA about a month ago, and then the YWCA and the University of Utah have an active contract that was signed about 2 weeks ago. The subcommittee has met, and we have a really nice timeline set up for the next probably about 6 months to get the focus group research done. A few things will happen, and I just want to review that with this group. April and May is when the subcommittee will be putting together the discussion guide. This will be used for our moderators to lead those discussions across the state. I think we're looking at doing about 7 or 8 focus groups, and I can't remember all the locations, but it goes from Logan, Davis County, Salt Lake County, Utah County, all the way to Kanab, being one of them. And then I think the far reach is the Vernal area, of course. The goal is to hold those in June and July and then do all of the analysis in August and have a draft report to this group in September so you guys can present in an interim meeting in October or November. A couple of things that we'd like the group, this group to look at is the discussion guide before probably, I'm guessing we have to do that in our April meeting, so that we can finalize that with our research subcommittee. And I just want to compliment all those who are on the research subcommittee. We have folks from Utah State, UEU, the University of Utah, and some members of this commission, and they have been very, very helpful as we've gone through, especially YWCA and their team. Incredibly, incredibly good at taking control of getting this grant and bringing it to the university so we can do the work. So that's the plan on that, and then based on our discussion earlier today, we'll get our committee together and connect with you, representative, to talk about some funding options so that we can continue to do the demographic research. Okay.
Thank you very much. It's very exciting. I have a follow-up for the policy committee that I forgot to mention when we were seniors having a summary. So the next step that we're doing is I'm having Jen Kowski, our administrative assistant for the Democratic Caucus, take a look at the master study list and see if there are items within the master study bill list that would be aligned somehow with, you know, as things we need to keep an eye on, either by subject matter or title, that would be related to our work. And then, Commissioner Edwards, I know that you'll probably get a more refined list as a committee chair from leadership. If you, we'll send you our list, and what we're going to do is cross-reference it. So if there are things that we're missing that were asked for master study that aren't in that final study list that you all will be talking about with leadership, then we can kind of maybe see if we can get them back on, or just kind of keep an eye with what's going forward during the summer that would be of issues of interest for this commission.
Okay, great. Good idea. Thank you. Anytime we bring Jen Jankowski in, that's awesome. That's a great job for you. So anyway, appreciate that. Okay, are there any other items that we need to talk about? Commissioner Wallace.
I just want to mention. I guess I'll push it now. The Women's Business Center has been working with the Women's Leadership Institute on a potential new coalition of women's business organizations. So it's in the very early stages, but I wanted to get maybe some feedback from you, if that's okay. The purpose of that coalition is still being worked on, but our initial thought was, first of all, that we would want to, and this would be women's organizations that impact, influence, and represent, advocate for women business leaders, whether it's business ownership or they're leading an organization, and we add on to that leading in their communities. And we wanted to find value in, which we did, in getting to know each other, first of all, and then discussing how we can potentially work together. Is there something we can do together that we can do separately? And the discussion turned to really funneling stay-at-home moms with potential for leadership and career back into the workforce into leadership, or preparing them for leadership and also for business ownership. So the concept really right now is an initiative to be a pipeline or a bridge to those resources that are already available. So this coalition wouldn't necessarily provide programming, but would work through, and we're hoping, through maybe school districts, or talk to DWS yet, but potentially encouraging, that's the first thing that we have found with our women, is they need confidence first, they can do it, and then get them to the right resources. So that's something we're working on. It was a little surprise to me to talk about stay-at-home moms. I didn't know where our conversation would go, but we felt like that was a group that wasn't being focused on as much as those that are already workforced and getting them up higher into the C-suite and into business ownership. But what we are doing right now is just drafting out what that could look like, potentially maybe applying for a VISTA team to work on a project on behalf of this coalition. But what are your feelings about services that are available to stay-at-home moms to get them back into not just in the workplace, but into leadership, both business ownership, business leadership, and business community, and not just community leadership.
We have a comment from Commissioner Friedane.
Yeah. I was just going to suggest that
some of the SBA, the Small Business Association, they have a ton of resources and initiatives specifically for women-owned and type of businesses. So they have a huge focus on that, and so I think having them as part of your coalition is great.
Yes, Melinda attended the first meeting, and where I work is one of the resource partners that does just that, and my specialty is aid.
Right, and then also PTAC through GOED as well. So that's a resource that I think would be helpful. So, and then I think it's a great idea. I think if there's such a big, typically for women, it's access, right, regardless of what socioeconomic standards you're in. So I think that if this coalition can bridge that gap and create access to the resources that are existing, I mean, clearly there's a need. So I think that's a great idea.
Thank you. So one thing that I wanted to bring up is, I think Senator Henderson sent me this article on how society pays for women's work is unpaid, and it actually talks about societal, the economic impact when women do the majority of the work in society in terms of maintaining families, et cetera, and that's not, it's unpaid work, but there is a value to it in terms of the gross domestic product, et cetera. And so I'll try to, I've got the hard copy of it. I printed it for myself, but I don't remember where I got it. So I'll try to find it, and then I will send it to all of you, but that might be ancillary information for you in this group. And then the other thing I wanted to mention, Commissioner, is that are you also inviting, so are you looking also to women's professional associations, so like women CPA, women attorneys, those types of groups to also link into?
That's a really good question. What we did was put together the three tiers of groups. The first was who we invited to the original meeting, the first meeting, which was on the 10th. There were the bullseye of women business resources to business owners, executives, and the community. And that was including Chambers of Commerce, Women in Business, it was the Small Business Administration, as well as Women's Leadership Institute, the National Association of Women Business Owners, Women's Networking Group, and the Women's Business Center. We invited U Women Network as well as a few others. Tier 2 includes those groups that are may not necessarily be exactly business ownership or executive suite type of organizations. They include all the ways that you would probably think of that you mentioned. And then Tier 3 would be services that may not be just for women. So we have those three. We haven't figured out how they'll all be involved, but we think it's all important.
It's great, because I just recalling when we had the women engineers come and present last year, and I'm speaking about groups, those professionally oriented associations that I think would be wonderful opportunities if you're trying to look towards incentivizing or encouraging young women to pursue post-secondary in an area that they might be of interest to them by linking, by having those associations be a part of that, be part of the conversation. Great stuff. Thank you for the heads up on that.
Thank you.
We may want to consider hearing your as you go along, hearing from you.
And then I just want to point, I believe we have one of our subcommittee members here. Do you want to introduce yourself? I know you've been here before previously. You can come to the podium up here, the table. So thank you for being here.
I'm Ann Austin, and I'm a professor at Utah State University, and I also direct the Center for Women and Gender. And it's really nice to be here. The meeting was held on a non-class week.
Oh, good.
So I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for being here, and then for the work that you're doing in this field and on these issues. I appreciate your support.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have one other comment that came from Commissioner Barnett before our meeting began, and about the tour. Do you want to just mention that, and maybe we could have Gail send out a doodle poll and kind of find out when the best time for this is, as well as when she does for our next meeting. But tell us a little bit about what you're looking at there.
I'm always talking about my environment. My environment is that for 40 years of work in the non-traditional labor unions, and have an organization called Utah Women in the Trades. Senator Karen Mann and myself helped put this together. And I love your idea about women at home, you know, staying at home, because I remember I was privileged enough to be able to stay at home for a few years, and I just felt like I was so alienated, and I had been working since I was like 14, so I think that's wonderful. I really do. But back to us, we have the labor unions, some schools, some career centers, non-traditional jobs, and they're beautiful. And our president has reached out to Commissioner Edwards, and I think he mentioned it to Rebecca, Representative Rebecca, if you in passing during the legislature, that we'd love to have you guys go on a tour to see our facilities and our schools and what the programs are for furthering the education of women, especially some of these women staying at home, because for me, I was at home, and then eventually I was divorced, and then need to get out into the workforce. And that was a real challenge for me. Luckily, I did have some skills that I could fall back on, but I, these are beautiful schools, and anyway, we'd like to put together, we will furnish the transportation you need at the Union Labor Center. It takes probably 3 to 4 hours to go to 4 different facilities, and there's one of the facilities called the Career Center, and on the brochure of our beautiful brochure is a female welder. I believe Anne's going to use her picture on the website. And, of course, these schools are 4 to 5 years, and they are paid while they're working and they go to school. Of course, they don't get the child care as they're taken care of like we're hoping that women could. So anyway, thank you. And if you could, we could do a Google poll and see what's, thank you.
I think it sounds like a great opportunity. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. And we'll have Gail send out a, what is it called? Is it Google poll?
Google poll.
Yeah. And find a time that we could get that set up.
Okay. So in that as well, now I would have whispered over here to Commissioner Robinson, my old buddy, who's just so sweet to me, but I'm going to throw it out here. So we're looking at 2016 Utah Women in Higher Education Research. And I'm thinking, I'm wondering, this is thrown out there, if we did, if we could ever do anything about researching non-traditional jobs for women or researching something like that to see, I mean, is that something that we do? I don't know.
Let's get that
here.
Let's get to the
questions that are in here, but I'll just throw it out there. Whatever. I feel comfortable. You're my sisters.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and I think your voice is important on our commission to continue to bring that to, to the forefront.
I understand. I do understand it. And thank you, because it's not anything you've ever said or done. It's just the nature of the beast. But I've been, I'm 70. I've been working there for years. And I love the diversity. Plus, it makes my brain, I have to work on my brain a little more. So anyway, thank you for bringing that up. Right back to prison cops will be thrilled.
I would like to get to also in context of when we do that tour, Commissioner Wallace, is do some press around it. So if they, and then say the commission is doing this tour today, and then we can talk about what we're working on and give the press some updates as to what's going on, but have them maybe come for part of it and join us. I think it would be a wonderful press opportunity for the commission. You like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm sorry, I hope I'm not extending things out, but you only have the one pair of new eyes. So, in terms of research, I'm quite curious because there's so much work. UVU has a huge non-traditional women's pursuit. I know Utah State has a ton. I know University of Utah has a ton. In the research subcommittee, is there sort of a mission or an effort to sort of grab all the other researchers that are going on so that we can leverage all of the information? I think there's a lot of data out there. There's a ton of research happening. It's just silos. Just like you described, you have research in your hands, and I don't know if that's a lit review or some sort of Utah, kumbaya in terms of research.
I should be able to address kind of what was happening.
I'll
do my best.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think it's fresh eyes on that too. So a couple things have happened in the past. We put together essentially what's the state of women in Utah report, and that was in December of 2014. That could be updated at any point. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's towards the end of the year. But it went through a number of topic areas. So it talks about educational attainment, pay, jobs, employment, just a wide variety of things. And then we just keep track of research that other people are doing. But another really good, so I guess we're just kind of creating our own little database at the office of any research that we're hearing about. And our really good resource is Susan, because she's putting out, gosh, an email probably every couple of weeks. So we're just tracking what she's doing or other things that she knows of and that she's spreading the word on. And then the research committee just has identified these couple of projects, and that's the max it can take on right now. Yeah. But something as simple as women in different employment sectors, that's easy. We could just pull that from census, and that, you know, that's a couple of hours of work. Yeah. It's not a big deal. And we could come back and share that with the group, and we'd toss it in our report and just have that little holding place for whenever we decide to put out a 2016 report. Yeah. So keep telling us. I guess the message is keep telling us things that you think are valuable and would be helpful to the full commission. We'll just keep storing them away for the right time.
I just think that there are so many more things that EWS is doing. For example, they just submitted a grant for daycare, paying for daycare for families that need it, and hopefully we'll get it, obviously. But having access to research when you're writing a proposal that's due in, say, 2 weeks, and we're always reaching out to EWS to say, give us data or give us some information. But I think having that type of information handy in one repository is extremely important. And then it just goes to my next. I think it would be really great because there's also a tech hire grant that will impact. So I think there's grants and some activities going on, and I was listening to, we have the policy and we have communication and those sorts of things, and there are other initiatives, whether they're cluster initiatives or they're grant initiatives that are going on to try to help be a strategy for some of the issues, not just for women, but it could impact them in a great way. So I don't know if there's I don't know if that's inviting people on the agenda from nominations of the committee to say, let's maybe find out what's going on, or I don't know if that's another way for the commission. I don't know how that would be accessed. Obviously, everybody's involved in a lot of things, but if there's a way to find out maybe like a resource page or what's going on, or I don't want to duplicate that if some other organization is already doing that. It's just a question of
No, I think those are great points, and something that, we're always looking for items that we can put on our agenda and bring to the discussion for the entire commission. And so if you could send Representative Chavichal and myself a list of some of those entities that you're specifically thinking of, I think we would love to.
And include Gail, too, because sometimes we lose our email.
And she's really good about saying, you remember that this is one thing you talked about, and maybe that's something
when we're trying to
struggle. Yeah.
Please,
just for 2 years,
that'd
be great.
Just
for 2 years.
Just things that we haven't
spent
talked about that,
mm-hmm.
that you guys want to be aware of.
Yeah, and then also remember, as a new member of the commission, we've got the three committees, subcommittees, so whichever one you would like to join, or if you want to join more than one, I'm sure that people are happy with that too. So, Commissioner Wallace is a great communications person. Commissioner Robinson is our research, and then we do policy. So just let us know, and we'll make sure that we pull you into when we start reviewing those subcommittee meetings. So. All right, I think that brings us to the end of our agenda. Really, it just feels great to be together again and to hear, kind of feel the energy here. I love a meeting when there's so much material that we cannot cover at all, and you feel like we have a lot of work ahead of us, and that's invigorating and daunting, and I just feel supreme confidence and optimism with the members of our commission and all of your respective subcommittees. Exciting things are happening. Thank you so much for all you do and have done, and with the removal of the sunset, we just will continue, in perpetuity here. It's a great opportunity for us to really make a significant difference. So thank you again. And just as a follow-up, Senator Escamilla sends her regards and assisting Mrs. Casal, and she thanks you for your congratulatory income for her baby. All right. Thank you very much. We will conclude this meeting, and we'll see everyone next month.